Igor, what's the halachic shear for how much cinnamon babka a person has to eat? It's a half of one?
It
doesn't fit into the general shear kezias or kebetza.
It's 4 weeks eyes.
Okay. It's more than a kezias, it's like the kakotebis hagasa, like yafilas yom kippur. You hear that? It's a special shear.
Yes, it's a beitza. It's a beitza of what? An ostrich or a chicken?
No, it's not kosher.
So the question is, we're going to have a shear one time, and how the shear for a cinnamon babka, Igor, how did Igor derive that? The only thing between a kezias and kebeitza in halacha is hakoteves hagasa, which appears in two places. It's the shear according to Beis Shammai of Bir Chametz, and it's also Achilas Yom HaKippurim. So, you know, obviously Igor is darshing it out from those two places, but the conceptual relationship between cinnamon babka on the one hand and achila on Yom Kippur and biur chametz on Pesach according to Beis Shammai, that requires further explication. So that will require a shir in its own right. Maybe we'll do that this year before Pesach, because, you know, that'll be the next juncture which is relevant. Shkoch, Igor. Special mitzvah bris milah. Bris Milah, we alluded to it last week when we talked about the Keshet, and we said that there are seven times the word Bris is mentioned in the context of the Keshet, and I said, well, that's really an amazing thing in its own right, but it almost pales in comparison to the extent to which Bris is mentioned in the context of the Bris Milah. As the Rambam notes at the culmination of Hilchos Milah, the term Bris is used 13 times, and that reflects just how special the Bris Milah is. And when we get to the tour, which will be the last source that we see today, the importance and the centrality of Bris Milah is underscored in a very, very beautiful section in the tour, where the tour makes reference to the Yukim Obrisos. Milah itself is something the centrality of which can never be questioned. First of all, it's really the first mitzvah that we do with our children. We don't wait a long time to do it. You know, it's a really remarkable statement in its own right. And then beyond that, we know that the process of Geirus, to call Yisrael, the process of conversion, at its very heart and center is, of course, the Bris Milah. And then finally, what's the other very dramatic expression of the centrality of Bris Milah? I mean, we're going to see a number of them, but if you just had to pick, put it on the list. I said 8 days, the first thing. It's part of the Geirus process. It's part of the way that Klal Yisrael became part of the Jewish people. But Steve, go ahead. What's
Moshe?
Okay, good. The Rambam and the Torah mentioned that. We're going to get to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then from a halachic standpoint, I mean, what
Pesach,
it's a mitzvah.
Pesach.
Okay, good. So Korban Pesach and Bris Milah are part of a unique category of mitzvahs asay with?
With
kares. With kares. In other words, and again, don't think about kares merely as an onesh, but kares literally means what? Nechrisa? Cut off. So what does that mean, Seth? How would you translate that? In other words, what I'm saying is it's not just a punishment, but how would you formulate it?
It's not just a punishment, but a pun.
Well, that's for sure, and also for Pesach, there's a little bit of cutting involved in the Shechita. But in a less facetious way, I mean, and you should just know. I didn't mention it, but I've always thought of that. The first Bris Milah that we see, the real Bris Milah that we see, just mentioned by Steve, it's Tzipora, but Tichrot Tzipora, right? Yes. Usually that language. But what do I mean? Kares isn't just a punishment, but it's a reality. It's descriptive, that you are cut off from your people. In other words, that Milah is how you join up with the Jewish people. It's Lachniso Bebriso Shel Avraham Avinu, right? To bring them in. If you leave somebody outside in the cold, it's not just that, okay, they have an onesh kares, but kares has a description. And I want to try and develop that through a machlokes in the Rambam and the Raiva that we'll have, but this is very important. Let me just give you an analogy. If I was writing the Torah SATs, this would be one of my questions. This would be one of the harder questions. Okay, everybody knows that there was, I don't know if there still is, an analogy section on the SATs, right?
No.
Yeah, right.
They got rid of it? Okay. So there used to be analogies on the SATs. So again, in the non-existent, completely fantastical Torah SATs that I will one day not write, right? This analogy appears as follows. Korban Pesach is to the Tzibor what Milah is to the Yachid. Okay, and like I would just leave one of those out and see who could fill it in. The basic idea is as follows. So that there are only two mitzvahs that say that it really referendum on a person's identity. And they are Bris Milah, and that is to the Yachid. The way that a Yachid makes a statement, I belong to Klal Yisrael. I'm not just an independent person who, you know, is on my own in this world and I happen to keep mitzvahs, but I belong to a group. The way that you do that is Bris Milah, okay? That you join up into the covenant of the Jewish people by individually going through the process. That's why a ger has to do what? Get a bris milah, right? Without a bris milah, there's no way to do gerus. They could say, I'm going to keep every mitzvah of the Torah. I'm going to learn every masechta with Rashi, Tosfos, Rif, the Ran, the Rush, the Ritva, and Rambam. Okay? Most naturally born Jews don't know who any of those people are. Okay? But you can't do that. You can't come into Jewish people, even if you're willing to do that, if you don't have a bris milah. Why? Because a bris milah is the way the Yachid joins up with Jewish people. I'm going to take that question in a second, but I'm going to try to guess what it is in just a second. Okay, so that's korban. That's a bris milah. Now, korban Pesach is really the same thing for the tzibur. The korban Pesach is more of a group experience. That's why it has to be eaten bechabura. But korban Pesach is the way that you identify as part of the Jewish people, the national entity of the Jewish people, not just your identification as a Yachid, by saying, I'm part of the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I see myself as historically part of the Jewish people. By the way, there's a Havamin in the Gemara that just as a ger has to do a bris milah, that he should have to bring a Korban Pesach, no matter what time of year it is. You can understand what they're getting at, is the notion that Korban Pesach itself is a referendum on whether a person is part of Jewish people. That's why those are the only two mitzvot asay that have karis. In other words, if you don't do them, you fail to join up with the Jewish people, each in its own way, but you're basically cut off in the descriptive sense. Now, I think, it's very different. Which year?
The one on
Shabbos was
on circumcision.
Which one?
The one in the morning on Shabbos.
Shabbos. Oh no! That was on the question of Ger the Bris Milah. Begezel Hagir.
So it's different?
Yeah, this is a different topic. You mean this past topic?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a quick question.
Yeah, well, 1 second, let me just take Seth's question and then your question. Let me anticipate Seth's question. Seth, your question was about, I'm guessing your question was about women.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say 51% of Jewish people.
Ah, good. So let me try to develop. So I anticipated correctly.
Indeed.
Okay. Okay. Hold on 1 second. Steve had a different question.
It's a related question.
Go ahead.
After Michonne, any commentators asked whether he was born Nimol or not.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. We'll come back to it. Yeah.
Since Shmuel was there also, it's mitzvah to fill it all. Is the Bris of Hanin also going to Arabs?
No. Where are you? So the Rambam, what is the Rambam? Who remembers what the Rambam says? We did this 2 years ago. What did the Rambam say about B'nai Keturah? Yeah. Very good. What's that? B'nai Keturah, right? Where does that come from?
It's from the Torah.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good.
Not only that, but what did we say about Yishmael's Bris Milah? Remember this, we did this when we were doing the Sugyas of Yishmael 2 years ago, that Yishmael's Bris Milah was actually greater than Avram's Bris Milah. Yeah. That there was actually greater pain for Yishmael. That's a tradition of Chazal. But remember, we mentioned that in the context of the Akedah Sheth. I didn't forget about you. What was the issue? Because when you do it at 8 days old, right? How much has a person developed? Like it's still painful. But Yishmael did it at 13, and that Yishmael used to make fun of Yitzchak. Remember, we saw this Chazal. He used to make fun of Yitzchak and say, "I have greater mysterious nefesh than you do." Why? Why do I have greater mysterious nefesh? Self-sacrifice, right? Because you only had 8 days. I had age 13. That's one of the things, according to what did Yitzchak say in response? Yitzchak said, that's why I'm going to sacrifice not just one Eber, but my whole body. Right, that was what led up to the Akedah. Right? That's from the famous Medrash Chazal, that Yishmael, really, so that's where B'nai Keturah come from. Okay, good. Seth asked the question, what's that?
Afra was 99 at a bris milah.
Yeah, so, but take a look at the last, I don't want to get into, just for various reasons, I don't want to get into the distinction,
okay.
But if you take a look at the last Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha, Rashi explains why Yishmael's bris is greater than Avram's, okay? So just made a good advertisement for the last Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha. Seth and Steve asked, Kedarkam Bakodesh, great questions, okay? So there is a tradition that a number of people were Nolad Mahul meaning? Right, so who's the most famous example of this? The most famous example that we have of this is Yaakov Avinu, okay? That one of the interpretations of Yaakov Ishtam, Tmimus, right, because the word Tmimus is associated with Italech Lefanai Ve'yei Tamim, and that's in the context of Bris Milah, so Tmimus in the context of Yaakov was understood to be Nolad Mahul. Well, what about Seth's question? So the Gemara in Kiddushin makes the following point. and we're going to get there through the sources. But there's a distinction between needing a bris mila and being mahul. Okay, in other words, a person was an Ariel, a man who was born right under normal conditions, not Yaakov Avinu or according to some Adam Harishon type conditions of Noah Mahul, that a person is an Ariel and he needs to undergo a bris mila to be Mahul. Okay, but the Gemara Kiddushin actually assumes that even though women don't undergo the process of bris mila, they have the status of Mehulim. Okay? So that the Gemara itself in a way asks this question. And that the real answer is that the result is achieved. And I don't mean, God forbid, nobody should be confused that there was some parallel process for women. Is that clear to everybody? We don't believe in that. That we consider that to be literally mutilation. As, by the way, if Hashem didn't give us the commandment of bris mila, we wouldn't be allowed to do it, right? You're not allowed to mutilate people. Yeah. Right, so if the person is... Right, so a person who's completely mahul. Now, I think... I've never seen it in my life. That's no raya. I mean, because it's not. I haven't been paying attention to these things for all that long. But I haven't. I have to speak to a number of urologists and rabbanim. But I don't know how common is it, Steve.
Oh, it's very uncommon.
Okay, we're talking about one in many hundreds of thousands.
Yes, many
hundreds. Okay.
Are you saying if someone was born with a bris, he would require one?
Yeah, for somebody. Right. But again, we're talking about here in about one in. Steve, what's the ratio?
One
in less than 100,000. Okay,
born
so.
Circumcised?
Well, Steve
is
saying.
Well, there's also a lot of these kind of spaces.
All right. What did you say? Okay, yeah, and there was a question.
So let's say the doctor was born circumcised.
That's the tradition of the Gemara. Right.
So what do you
require us on the Hatafat? That was Steve's question. So if a person is really, really born with a bris mila, I have to check how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Gemara's assumption is that, you know, you're good to go. But is there some formulaic process where a ger would certainly have to have a dafis dam bris? Steve is asking Steve is saying this person isn't undergoing ger, meaning somebody who already had a bris mila. The distinction that Steve was raising was, is there a difference between somebody who had a bris mila, and now he's coming in, so he needs a hatafas dam bris, and somebody who never needed a bris mila at all? Well, so I would have to check up, what's the halakha in that case? I don't think that anyone looked at
that.
Yeah, right. That would even be, now we're just 1 billion, right?
No, not necessarily. No, 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 say, oh, yeah, well, never mind. You'd have to
Well, you could argue that it's different because a person who needs to enter the Jewish people might need some kind of process more than somebody who's born in. So you can't necessarily build one off the other. But you see, that's why I thought what Steve was asking was such a good question. In other words, does it depend on having gone through a Maisa Mila? In which case, okay, since you already had a Maisa Mila, you might need a Hatafas Dam Bris to come into the Jewish people. But if you never needed any kind of Mila to begin with, right, so then maybe it is a little different. I thought that's a really good question. Depends how you look at it. Okay, so the Rambam and the Ravid have the following machlokas. Okay, I just pointed out the Karasim. Seth, did you have another question? Were there any other questions that we left unanswered moving forward? Okay. Okay. Right. What was Igor's point? I think I forgot to mention Igor. Give me your question again. I just think I forgot to address it. I had a feeling there was one question I didn't address.
Is the Arabs descended also?
Oh, it was the Arabs one. Yeah, mentioned
it. Question: if the
Arabs, Keturah.
If the Arabs who is not Christian, who is not Muslim, but is a Christian,
right?
Does that do Brit Mila? Is it a viral situation?
Right. I mean, again, what Igor's raising is a very important question. Is how much do we look at people today as the actual descendants, right? We have this tradition of some pair of Bilbolas almost. You know, this notion of how would one really define B'nai Keturah? So obviously we don't have a formal definition of B'nai Keturah, but let's say Yishma'ilim, people who identify themselves as Muslims, they would have a tradition of Bris Mila, let's say. So it's not the same, you know, we don't look at all the Gentiles in the world as having the same notion of Bris Mila. People who say, use the Rambam of certain Yishma'ilim or B'nai Keturah, who identify as part of that, have a notion of Bris Mila that goes back to Yishmael. Yeah.
That's familial, then that's a problem, because then you're, you know, the largest, most populous Muslim country in the world is Indonesia.
Right. That was my point. Right. Is that we have a tradition of Sancheirav. Sancheirav was Mevalvel at Sa'umo, so we don't really believe that they're genealogical descendants of people in the Torah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Sure. The foundation of Christianity assumed that people that want to Right. Arabic Christianity would have to have time to go Bris Mila.
Right.
Before Paul, the whole idea was that you had to be Jewish first.
Correct. Very good.
Paul fixed this problem.
You mean before Paul Radensky?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Paul, they just said that before you came along, a person had to... Well, I don't want to know. We're talking about Paul of Tarsus, not Paul Radensky. Paul of Berkeley.
Paul of Berkeley.
Okay. So here you have a following machlokes between the Rambam and the Raivet. Take a look at source one. Mitzas mila, or mila mitzas aseisha chayavin ala akari, shenemar be'arel zachar shor lo yimol esbzara lasa. Why do you think the Rambam is starting with the chi of karis? Again, if you want to underscore the gravity of something, what you have to mention is chi of kares. Right? The Rambam will often do this, to start a set of halachos by underscoring the idea that there's a chi of kares. That always makes an impression on the Rambam. You find the same thing in terms of Hilchos Korban Pesach, same thing in terms of Hilchos Chametz Matzah. Chayavin alei kares, it's not a regular mitzvah asay. Okay, shenemar v'arel zachar shalo yimol es b'sar lasa v'nechus ha'nefesh ha'yim yameha, that's from Lechacha. So the mitzvah starts off on the father, and also if people had Eved Kanani. I'm assuming nobody here is an Eved Kanani today? Okay, good. You released them yesterday. Okay, you're not supposed to, by the way. We'll have to talk about that. Okay, so it's a mitzvah on the father, it's a mitzvah on the Adam. Okay, Abar ha'av o ha'adon v'lo ma'alasan b'tal mitzvah saseh v'enu chayiv karish shen ha'karish taloy ala bar al atzmel. So the father fails, or the adon fails, he's not going to be chayiv karis himself. Why? Because karis is only on the person who it ultimately devolves on, which we're going to say is the subject himself. And now you have an intervening category. Before it becomes your mitzvah of mila, the person's father didn't do it. People will say, whose father doesn't give them bris mila? But it actually happens. Okay, it happens. Let me give you a very recent historical example where it was rampant. The Soviet Union. Okay, it was very difficult to get a bris mila. We're going to talk about that at the end of this year. But, okay, so the way that the halacha works, at a certain point, the chiyuv actually transfers from the father to the subject himself.
Oh, the subject himself.
Yeah.
Okay,
women, it's a whole different story. The Gemara talks about maybe women shouldn't have a chiyuv at all. Why? Because, even though Tzipora did in the case of her son, because one who isn't chayiv in a bris mila herself doesn't have a chayiv to give, a bris mila. Much like a woman doesn't have a chiyuv in Talmud Torah, right? Because, as you say, woman doesn't have to teach Torah because she's not obligated to learn Torah. By the way, it's a big mitzvah for women to learn Torah. It's a big kiyum ha-mitzvah, a big supporter of women learning Torah. I'm just showing that the structural parallel. A woman who's not chayav to have a bris mila herself is not chayav to give a bris mila. So too, a woman who's not chayav to learn Torah herself, right, is not chayav herself to perform a bris mila. Okay. Okay, good. So would it be 13? Would it be 20? That is...
With Ishmael, I mean, it'd be interesting. We also talk about...
Exactly. When does it transfer? But we'll try to make it diyuk in the Rambam. So we said that this is a complex mitzvah in terms of the chiyuv being transferred from one person to the next. But we say, Ubez in mitzvah lamul oso ha-ben, ola evad bizmano velo yanichu arel v'yisrael velo be'avdehen. So what did the Rambam say as the intervening category? What did Rambam say? Intervening category. In other words, what's that? Michael, did you get it? What was the intervening category? Bezin mitzuvin lamul oso habeno ha'eved bismano v'lo yanichu arel b'yisrael v'lo be'avdehen. What's the intervening category? Before it actually transfers over, before you get to halacha beis, where the Rambam is going to say that the chiyuv is catapulted onto the... But what does that mean, Paul? Make a diyuk in the lashon.
Tells the father to circumcise.
No, but let's say the father doesn't do it.
Good night.
Who does it? You're correct. But just take a bezdin mitzuvin lamul oso haben. Okay, good. And Paul, what's the rationale? Just make the diak in a Rambam. Why does it transfer over to the bezdin? And we're talking about the bezdin as representatives of the community. Okay, but what's the Rambam uses a very shocking language here. Striking, it should strike us. Seth, what's the striking language that the Rambam says? What's the rationale? It's not just that the mitzvah devolves on the bezdin. Okay, what does that mean, Igor? Below yanichu arel b'Yisrael. Make a deal.
Because if you're not part of the community, maybe you're not...
Okay, well, it's not a surprise that the Rambam puts this in the same halacha where there is a chi of kares. In other words, why doesn't the Rambam separate this part out and put in halacha base? Because the Rambam says this is such a severe thing that a person is cut off from the community if they don't do it. Memela, whose responsibility is it to see that the mila gets done? The community. Yeah, right. Through Bezdin. But I want to just... One second. I just want to go one step further. Seth, what was my when you asked about the women, what did we determine? That there are really two issues here. There's obviously having a mila, being mahul, but what was the second thing that I mentioned? There's a dimension which comes even before that, which is removing the orla. So what do you, and remember that was part of my answer. Woman, right, she doesn't have any orla that needs to be removed. Right. So what's the Rambam saying here? Is he saying it's just a mitzvah to do the mila, but what's the emphasis? Okay, articulate that. What does that mean? There's something that's offensive itself about leaving somebody. Exactly. Okay. So the idea is that there's two dimensions. There's removing the orla and its own right. That's the way the Rambam formulates it. That is its responsibility. It can't be that there's an orla left around, right? And so maybe you have to do the mitzvah of mila, but you can't lose sight of the fact that the Rambam is focusing on the pre and the anti a n t e. Not A-N-T-I, but the anti-Mila state is something which itself is a problem. Exactly. And the Rambam, right, is about removing the pre-existing state. Later on, the Rambam will say that the Ariel is a Dabar Ma'us, it's a Dabar Maguna. And if you pay careful attention to the language as he develops it, you see how the Rambam is writing not just about Mila, but about removing the Ariel per se. Igor, please, go ahead.
I would compare this... it's like eating orla from the trees.
No, no, very good. But why is it the same word?
No, because it's also tzivui Hashem, part of the...
Yeah, but there's actually an even closer relationship, that there's a reason that it's called... We have orla, which appears in really three contexts in the Torah. There's orla in the context of bris mila, and then we have that same thing applied in the context of tshuva. Umal Hashem lokechem es orla slavavchem. And then we have the orla, which is the
3 years.
The first 3 years, and then you have Netzer Abai Karim Abai, the fourth year. Mm-hmm. But the there's something, right, that's the pre-existing condition that has to be removed, or in this case, exactly, taken away before you can start having the fruits of the tree. So there's something, again, there's a parallel there in terms of the precondition being the state of orla, okay, that has to, in the case of the anatomical orla, be literally removed. In the metaphysical oral of the heart, you have to remove that which congeals the what I call the spiritual cholesterol in the heart, right? You have to take the spiritual Lipitor, which is Talmud Torah, to really remove that. And then there's the concept of actually the fruits, which have to be the anti-state, which is the state which is not permissible, which is oral. I think Donnie had a question, then Steve. Donnie, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've mentioned it so many times, but like, you know, you mentioned... the Rambam saying, you know, a person is, you should be skeptical of a person if they're not giving tzedakah in the right way. And now you bring up more Rambams that are saying that he might not...
I have a penchant for doing that, by the way.
So is the Rambam actually not believe it, or was he just trying to put pressure on the Jews to be a...
But no, what I was saying...
There's, like, memory, you said, like...
Right, which the Rambam says, Chayav and Yizar b'mitzvah tzedakah, Yosir mikol mitzvah tzedakah. That's something that the Rambam said, I always like to quote it. That the mitzvah tzedakah is the most elemental mitzvah. And, yeah, the other thing to put on that list is Mila, when we get to the line in Shulchan Aruch.
So, but my question is that, does the Rambam, like... Does he actually not believe that you are Jewish, or is he just trying?
No. The Rambam was saying,
rhetorically,
right. That's a tzedakah topic. But the Rambam said, what the Rambam was saying, both in the case of Mila and in the case of tzedakah, is that these things are so elemental. That in the case of Mila, lo yanichu arel b'Yisrael. Well, it's a little bit of both. That it's something that's offensive. You can't leave an arel amidst the Jewish people. Just like when it came to tzedakah, the Rambam has that famous comment where he says, this is not so much a halakhic comment, but almost just a sociological comment, where he says, I've never seen a Jewish community without a kupas tzedakah. It's what are you talking? It's intolerable. Yes, Steve, you have a question.
No, I was going to say it's sort of interesting. I think there's two examples where it comes to pitfall. One of them was 1 in 100. But I think with Orla and Kalayim, it's like
1 in 200. Right.
It's interesting because both of those have aspects. One is that you're having inappropriately mixing of different elements, and the other is that you have this aspect that's really not yet complete. And
right.
It seems like it's already now a greater degree of problem.
100%. Well, if we're maybe 1 year here, we'll learn Zerayim, and those are major Zerayim topics. 100%. Very good. And another thing just to think about with the Kalayim, just to sharpen it, it's just for Steve, so you just, you know, keep on developing the idea, compare that to Basar B'Challah, okay? Right, because two things which are head time, mixing them together, there's a lot of literature about that also. Okay, so now let's read Halacha Beis. Ein malin b'no shel adam shelo midaso. What does that mean? Ein malin b'no shel adam shelo midaso. That means that if the father doesn't agree, Beisdin can't swoop in just yet. In other words, you can't go in, presumably on day 9, take the baby out of the house and give it a bris milah. In mullet, you have to give the father an opportunity to do his mitzvah, because this really is the father's mitzvah. Mitzvah sa'av al habayim.
My father made me my bris
milah. He did it physically himself. Yeah. Your father's doctor.
Yeah.
Anybody else here do the bris milah themselves?
My grandfather.
Your grandfather did it to you?
No, to my father.
To your father. Was your grandfather involved in medical profession, or just he did it?
No, his closest training to that was that he learned to be a shochet.
Oh!
That would not
be. That's the old
one.
That's the
he only killed two chickens in his entire career.
So you should just know. That's a very important joke, and it's also halacha that if somebody who, you know, you have to make sure that you bring the right knife to the bris milah. You know, that's a very important thing. Right, you have to check it before. It's very important because of that. A person could get mixed up. You have serious, you know, long-lasting issues. And nobody else here had a bris milah from the father? What's that? He's done now, right. Yeah, exactly. Well, right, that's about, well, that's a sugya of Rabbi Lachman Mila.
But Philippe
did.
Oh, Philippe did the bris milah himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
He took
it.
The moil set it up.
Okay, so, wow. Oh, the mole said it. Okay, that is already, I don't want to...
You're not touching my son.
So, it's a big machlokes.
Well, he's the guard, so once you use a guard, it's like...
It's true, my parents are doctors.
That's true.
It's a big machlokes between my... So let me tell you a quick story. My older brother was born. So my father, who knew the Sugya and Kiddushin, he said, Mitzvah Sa'av al Haben. This is one of my responses. The Gemara has a whole list of things that you have to do for your son. You have, first of all, there's a mitzvah cleanup of Olamdo Torah. The other thing that's listed there is Olamdo Umna. So the father has to see to it that his son gets an education or teaches him a trade. Why? What does the Gemara say? If he wasn't Malamid him an Umnus? Kilo Malamdo Lios? No, it's not Kilo Malamdo. Kilo Malamdo Lios? Right, I mean, I'll list him.
Yeah.
What? If you don't get your child a job, so you've taught your child to be a bum, and he's going to steal. So then, one of the other things is the father has to teach his son how to swim. Okay, so that you have to, right? And if you fall into water, this is equally relevant today as it was then. So, you know, you're putting the kid's life in danger. Unfortunately, we have this, many times a year. It's one of the most tragic things. You know, a kid falls into a pool. Chas v'shalom. I know many cases, and not just from the newspaper, personally, you see it in these major, major problems. So the fourth thing on the list is this notion of milah. Okay. So my father knew this, and he wanted to give my older brother bris milah. And, but, you know, he had never done it before, but, you know, this was his first son. So my mother put an end to it. My mother intervened and did not allow that to go forward.
Exactly what my wife did.
By the time I came around, it wasn't even a discussion. But my father was actually interested in doing it. But the real mitzvah is for the father. But again, because it's a health issue, and if you don't know what you're doing, it's disastrous. That's why most people today, I would assume actually over 90%, you know, bringing a moel to do it. Maybe even over 95% bringing the moel to do it, unless the father himself is, again, the urologist has some surgical training, and, you know, you still want to have a moel supervise. There is a notion, in general, in halacha, that we say shlucho shel adam kemoso. The person's shliach is their equivalent. Even though, in the case of mila, consensus view is mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho. There's an added advantage to the father doing the bris mila himself, more than a shliach. There's special brachos, which are said. It's a major topic in its own right. But again, the crucial point is that this is all only applicable if there is the same level of expertise, as with all matters of health. It's simply irresponsible and intolerable that a person should do a bris milah who's not really sure what to do.
I always thought my dad should have done doing a bris milah. It's a risky move. I've never done it before.
Yeah. It's very important distinction. Everybody follows the distinction between... Okay. So, in Malin B'no Shel Adam...
The most bris milot I've seen in the Orthodox community, particularly in New York City, there's one moel in particular who will get everything ready, and he'll turn to the father, and he says, "This is your mitzvah. You make me your shaliach."
Correct. Have you seen that?
No. And he hands him the knife. And he said, "Okay, then you do it."
That's actually a very nice. That's like a very nice halachic scene.
I would see
that. You saw this happen.
No. I was so terrified. I had my eyes closed. 6 months later, we had them over for Shabbos dinner, and yeah, you know, when I circumcised my kids, what?
You didn't even hear it happen. You were so traumatized.
I was just a little traumatized. Right. I had my eyes closed the whole time.
Okay. So the Rambam says the following: In Malin Benosho Adam Shalom Idaso. The halacha is you have to give the father an opportunity to perform his mitzvah. Elin Kane Avar Venimna Lamulo. Unless the father has demonstrated that he refuses to do the bris milah. Now, how exactly you define this is an open question, right? How do you know when the father has refused? Is the father simply not doing it, or the father is, you know, absolutely unwilling to do this? But at that point, then the Bezdin would have to swoop in. Shebezdin malino sobal korcho. Bezdin would have the right to go in as the representatives of the community. After all, what's at stake here is the child's membership in the community. So the community has to do everything that they can to make sure that this child does get a bris milah. Now, what the exact parameters are is an open question. When do you know that the father has refused? Okay. Well, let's say Beis Din wasn't able to do their responsibility. Nis'alim be'Beis Din v'lo malu oso. She'yigadel hu chayav lamu asatzmo. Steve, this is your question. She'yigadel hu chayav lamu asatzmo. So that when he is a gadol, when he grows up, then he would have a chi of lamul. So again, when exactly would this take place at bar mitzvah? That's probably the most likely option. But maybe, you know, in today's society, Abi, you had a point about this. Go ahead.
Oh, no, not at all. I would think it would be bar mitzvah.
Okay, yeah, bar mitzvah would be a good time. But again, how when does a person, you know, really have? You might want to adjust this, right? With 20, when would a person really be able to? You have to answer yourself a little bit sociologically. Right. Right. Exactly. 18, 21. You'd have to reconsider exactly what this period.
We have not when the exact age is.
Correct. Correct. So the Eino Chayev. The Eino. Right. Right. Exactly. So Shigadol hu Chayev Lamul Asatzmo. V'chol Yom Yom Shiyabu Arlav Mishigadol V'lo Yamul Asatzmo. Hareyu Mivatol Mitzvah Asay. That's why I'm raising the issue as a Halacha Mitzvah issue. The Rambam says that you're in violation every single day. That you don't do the milah, once you're responsible, you're considered mevatel mitzvah saseh. Now again, the Rambam is not talking about if you're in the Soviet Union, it's just, you know, you've never heard of it, and even if you've heard of it, it's like, you know, an absolutely foreign possibility, but if it's a real live option, that's why I was saying, when does it really become a live option? I actually kind of like Seth's notion of 18, I thought maybe 21. In other words, whenever it becomes a live option for you, you're considered a mevatel mitzvah saseh from that point on. Aval, says the Rambam, we know if you never do the milah, you're eventually going to be chayav kares. But just one second, you're not going to be chayav kares. But the Rambam has a kula here that you're not chayav kares until when? Well, according to Rambam, ad sheyamus v'hu arel b'mezid. Two things. First of all, since you could always get a bris milah until your very last day.
We touched on this.
Donnie and I touched on this. Right? What are the two diukim? What are the two diukim here? Number one, you're not going to be chayav kares until
death.
Until death. But not only that, take it one step further based on the language of the Rambam.
You have to really be doing it out of an intention
to be rebellious. Amazing. Amazing is not honest, and it's not shogun.
Yeah.
But the Rambam. Good. Steve, go ahead.
He's actually now defining another category. There's a category of aral b'mezid which doesn't really appear before, because you would think that if you're mevatel every day a mitzvah,
which the Rambam himself says you are.
So what's the punishment for that? There's actually nothing. You can be mevatel a mitzvah, say in the sense of arla, but it's only this category of aral b'mezid.
Correct. That's what I wanted to highlight. That's why I spent so much time developing the Rambam. What did the Rambam say? Yes. Are you mevatel the mitzvah? Yes. Are you mevatel the mitzvah every single day? Yes. Read it carefully. V'chol yom v'yom shiyavu alav mi sheyigadel v'lo yimos atzmo harei mevatel mitzvah saseh. Every single day, he's considered the matzah of the mitzvah. But the onesh, kares, doesn't kick in until, as Seth pointed out, two things. Number one, misa. Because, again, how can we say he's chayav kares? He might get the milah tomorrow. He might get the milah the next week. He might get the milah the next month. He might get the next milah, you know, a year from now. Number one. Number two, he has to be bemazed until the very end of his life. Seth, please.
This idea that the kares does not kick in until death really throws a monkey wrench into a certain way that you can take what the punishment of kares means.
Good. This is what I wanted to develop. Seth, say it out. So, good.
Because
if kares really means descriptively you're simply cut off, then it should be that you're going to have kares.
You're cut off the whole time until, and then you're uncut off.
Exactly.
There are certain parts of rabbinic literature that talk about kares as a specific thing that is going to happen.
We're not talking about that kind of kares. Okay.
Kares is always applying to that.
Yeah, no. So there are four different categories of kares, which is a whole discussion. It's all right. We're here talking about the kares that is between man and God. Okay. So now I want to just try to develop. Just one second. Just give me a chance to develop Seth's idea, and then I'll take as many questions as we can to show you how I think that's exactly the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. Okay.
Well, you're not even in the Malbim.
No, we haven't seen. There's no Malbim on this.
Yeah, there was when you gave the shir on Shabbos.
No, that was something else. The Malbim, you're thinking about Wednesday, the Malbim. We had no Malbim on Shabbos. Okay, let's get back to the Rabbi. Oh, okay, bye, Igor. Okay, all right, so let me just establish at least one Ravid.
Okay.
Oh, you have to, okay.
No, I want to hear.
Okay, so the Ravid says the following. Seth, this is to your point. Aval eno chayiv kares al shiyambos. Kasav haRavid. Ein bazet tivlin. He doesn't like this Rambam. V'chimishum hasra safek kochin osom min hashemayim. V'chol yom omed be'isser kares. Let me first explain what a concept of hasra safek is, and then I want to try and show what the Ravid is saying. So generally speaking, the way that any kind of onesh works, let's say it's malchus, is that Bezdin has to know you did it b'mezid. So how do we know if a person did something by accident or did it b'mezid? The answer was, well, that was their hasra. Did somebody warn him and say, if you go ahead and do this, we're going to give you lashes. That's what we call hasra. It means warning. And that's how we tell the difference between shogeg and mezid. But you can tell by its definition, it means warning somebody about doing something, an action, that if they do it, they will be chayav malchus, or let's say chayav kares, etc., etc. But because Mila is the opposite direction, it's not a person, something they can't do, but it's something that they must do, it's always by definition a hasra safik, a hasra which is never fully confident. You can never say to somebody, if you do this right here, right now, in the next minute, you'll be high of Paris, you'll be high of Malchus, whatever it is. No, how would you be warning them? You'd say, if you don't do this, at some point, you're going to be Chai of Kares. So that's by definition Hasra Safik. But the Ravid says as follows. This is my response to Seth. V'chim Yishum Hasra Safik Potrin Osom Min Hashamayim. Since the Kares here is between Hashem and man, right, Hashem can tell. Hashem's not a human bezdin. He can tell if you're mazid or if you're shogig. Right? Hashem doesn't need the Hasra, so therefore, he doesn't think that the Hasra Safik is an issue at all. So you can actually be Chai of Kares even without a proper Hasra. V'chol Yom Omeid B'Isser Kares. That was exactly why I brought this up now. What's the machlokas between the Rambam and Ravid? What's the machlokas? According to the Rambam, when are you chayav kares?
At death.
Only at death and only?
It
establishes b'mezid, but it also has to be b'mezid. Because let's say a person got sick the last few years of their life. Would that be b'mezid? No, it would be b'onis. The Mechatz Chinuch makes that point, okay? So just one second. Let me just continue to develop this. We're really penetrating deep now. So according to the Rambam, you can only be Chayav Kares even though you're Mevatel the Mitzvah every single day. You're only Chayav Kares when at death if you did it b'mezid. But according to the Ravid, when are you Chayav Kares?
Every day.
Good. V'chol Yom Omeid B'Isser Kares. Every... Ah! Oh, good. We can define Omeid in one of two ways.
If you subsequently do Mila, then are you, is that kares now reversed?
Good. So let me now develop Steve's idea. Everybody follows the difference between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid, you have to go, you know, stepwise. The Ravid said, V'chol yom omei b'eser karis. It's not that the karis kicks in at the end of one's life. If you did it amazing, the karis is already here. But we could take the ravid in one of two directions. You could say for the ravid, hey, you were chayav karis every single day, many times over. The only thing is, once you get a bris milah, mikan ulahaba, in terms of your future spiritual accounting in heaven, one is not going to violate any more chiyuvei karis. And hopefully the person would have done enough mitzvot that it can outweigh that. Or, perhaps more likely in the ravid is, V'chol yom, why doesn't he just say, he should have said over, Mr. Karis, but what did he say, Steve? V'chol yom, omeid Mr. Karis. What does that sound like? That if you would later get a bris milah, you would pull yourself out of that category. But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question then. So if that's true, the Ravid really believes that the V'chol yom, omeid Mr. Karis, so that if you get a bris milah, you can pull yourself out of that category. What is the Ravid talking about? That up until then, you're omeid b'eser karis. I mean, what's the significance of that? This is what I think the beauty of the shir is. That's the whole point. That if you look at karis as a punishment that you can get out of course, then this doesn't make any sense. Right? Because, you know, if you could get out of it, then the Ravid should just really agree with the Rambam and say, no, you can really only be chayav karis when you die. Because if the Ravid really believes that the whole nature of the karis is, it's a punishment, it's an onesh, but you can always pull yourself out, then why is the Ravid, you know, making such a tumult and saying, no, chol yom omei b'eser karis? Obviously the Ravid understood the karis differently. It's not the punishment that happens to you, but what is it? It's descriptive. You are, he's telling you, you're cut off from your people. Chol yom omei b'eser karis. You are separated.
So you're saying there's a difference between whether the real aspect is for the individual, vis-a-vis Hashem, or whether there's more of a communal aspect that you're being cut off from your community.
That's one way of formulating it, 100%.
Whether it's, as you said, whether it's really an individual or a community aspect.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So that could be another way of presenting it. But everybody follow the issue. In other words, if karis really means that every day you're really cut off from Hashem and you're cut off from your people, as Steve just put it so beautifully, so then it really does matter. Because what's your spiritual standing during that time? Maybe the Ravid really will agree that from the time you get a bris milah, on the spiritual accounting in heaven, they wipe the slate clean. There's no isurei karis against your scorecard. So I really think that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid has a lot to do with how one understands the karis which is taking place. The Rambam says the karis is the final onesh. So of course a person can only get that final onesh if they never did a bris milah. But the Ravid is highlighting the dimension of one's integration with the community, or, you know, sort of, this, so to speak, one's standing, even vis-a-vis Shamayim, of being cut off from one's people. And the Ravid is just reminding you, V'chol yom omei b'eser karis. I just want to give you another shita to consider here for the Bali HaTosos. The Bali HaTosos are within the camp of the Ravid, but they make it very clear what they mean. Again, we said the Ravid could potentially mean one of two things. I happen to agree with Steve that what the Ravid really means is that once you get a bris milah, you'll never have any yisurei karis against you. You won't have that again, so that's the way that I would look at it. But let me just...
For example, eating carbon paste.
Oh, that's for sure, but everybody's going to agree to that, no matter how you look at it. And any arel, the whole arel will yochal. But let me just take a look at the sheet of the Bali HaTosos to give you one more shita. And see how the Bali HaTosos spell it out quite clearly. Again, we wondered, what does the Ravid mean? Does the Ravid mean that once you get a bris milah, you were violated karis for 20 years, and that counts against you? The only difference is that going forward, you don't have any chiyuvei karis to worry about. Or does what the Ravid mean that, no, once you get the bris milah, it wipes away the slate completely from the previous, you know, however long you were without the karis. So you were without a bris milah. So take a look at the Bali HaTosos. Memela kasha, lam likra, dehalo havi kikaris demi devodas kacham, dehalo olam lo yisbar reshei bekaris ad sheyamus, the olam yachalam ulatzmo, vili patra mikaris. So he starts out with the direction of the Rambam. In other words, his havamina is, that how can you compare the karis of Avodah Zarah, which is once you do the action of Avodah Zarah, you're chayav karis right away, right? So you're going to be chayav karis right then and there, to the karis that comes with bris milah, because after all, the karis that comes with bris milah, as he says, lo yisbar shei bekaris ad sheyambus, to the olam yachol lamul atzmo. Right? What does that sound like? That sounds like who? The Rambam. But then he says, yesh lomar, no. To the olam kol zman shalom mal, onesh karis alav. As long as he doesn't have the bris milah, onesh karis is on him. But what? Once you get the bris milah, clear. So there the Bali HaTosos have it very, very clear. Now whether this is what they're... I happen to think this is exactly the same shita as the Ravid. This is the Bali HaTosos...
The word onesh, when you were trying to say that the Ravid's point is that it's seen as a scripted.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Exactly. That might be, but it's a great deal if you have Seth. I can't deny that. So the way that I would basically present it is, you know, two schools of thought. The more you emphasize the onesh dimension, the more you're going to say that the kares can only kick in when the person is certainly deserving of the onesh at the end of his life, amazing. But if you're highlighting the fact that kares reflects a person's being cut off, one will more likely emphasize that which the Raiva did, the Chol Yom Omed, not the Onesh Kares, as Seth's beautiful dia, wonderful dia goes, but the Yisur Kares. The main point here is the fact that one is cut off. Let me just give you two quick nafgamina that the Mincha Tzchina points out in this connection. Go ahead. And I just wanted to, we're already 10 past, so just one second. I just want to say, what we can do is we can hold it up here. I don't want to, you know, be on a tree up, people. We can hold it up here and pick it up next week if people have to go. Otherwise, we could do another 10 minutes now. It's people's choice. People have places.
What's their name?
Okay. Okay, so you want, okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll do 10, no, that's okay, that's fine. I love it being interactive. I just don't want to hold people up too much. So how about we do 10 minutes? We'll finish everything up. 10 to 12 minutes. Then we'll stop the shiur. People, whoever, we can bench, and then whoever wants to stay and ask questions, I'm happy to stay and answer questions till next Sunday. So the Mincha Tzchina, we'll just do it outside, is two nafgamina between the Rambam and the Raiva. He says, first of all, according to the Rambam, what type of tshuva is one going to have to do? We know that there's one level of tshuva which is required for not doing the mitzvah saseh, and another level of tshuva which is required for violating an iser kares. It's just, according to the Rambam, it's clear that if one gets a bris milah before they die, one never violated the kares aspect. So one should never have to do tshuva for a chiyuv kares. That's the Mincha Tzchina's argument. Whereas according to the Raavad, since you were omed the iser kares every day, the level of tshuva which is going to be required is going to be the level of tshuva which is required for iser kares. That's point number one. Point number two, that's more of a theoretical notion. Point number two is actually extremely relevant. Now, most people when they're 20 are healthy enough to get a bris milah. Thank God most people when they're 60 are healthy enough to get a bris milah. However, if somebody turns 85, 90 years old, they might not no longer be a surgical candidate for bris milah. And I'm not talking about Avraham Avinu, that was 10 days. Okay. So, how are you going to look at this? According to the Rambam, we said that you're not going to be chayav kares until two things happen. Number one, the person dies, but they die, what was the diak in the Rambam? Asha yamus? Vehu aril, exactly, Zani. Beautiful. Vehu aril b'mezid. So let me ask you a question. If it starts off b'mezid, he was against Mila, he was an anti-Mila activist in San Francisco for 85 years, but the last 5 years of his life it was anus because he just wasn't a candidate. According to the Rambam, there will never be a chiyuv kares. But according to the Raavad, since you started off b'mezid, the chiyuv kares was already chal. Now the only way that you can pull yourself out of that is by getting a bris mila. So you see that this is a huge nothingness. So according to the Rambam, most people who die a natural death, who aren't b'mezid at the very end, are going to have a ptur kares. That's just a very important point. Now, let me just take you one step further. When the Shulchan Aruch paskins this halacha, throws in a very unusual line. Source 5. Mitzvah saseh la'av l'amul espino. That much we know. U'gidola mitzvah zo misha mitzvah saseh. The mitzvah mila is more exalted, greater than any other mitzvah saseh in the Torah. What does that mean? So that could either be, as I'm arguing philosophically, that because it has to do with one's basic identity as a Jew, it takes on additional layers of significance. That would be one way of reading it. I want to point out that the Shach reads it in the most technical way. It just says no because there's a chiyuv kares. But this line in the Shulchan Aruch, whereas you could have read it very conceptually, philosophically, may have a very important halacha l'maaseh application. So let me open this question up. What is the general requirement in terms of mitzvahs, I say, Harry, or Avi, what is the general requirement? How much do you have to spend on a mitzvah saseh? Let's say a person's not wealthy. What's the chiyuv?
20%.
So on a vaz face, all your vaz face, yotzei mechomesh. That applies to any mitzvah saseh. With which exceptions? Which exceptions do we know? Afilu ani tzarech lisparnes in that tzedaka. A number of exceptions. Three basic exceptions. Ner Shabbos.
And
Dalit Kosos on Pesach. And Ner Chanukah. Not even Lulav Nesrach. If a person can't afford it, a person doesn't get Lulav Nesrach. So now what am I going to say? Who wants to just take it to the next level? What are we debating now? Why isn't Mila? Mila, after all, the Shulchan Aruch said, Gdola mitzvah, Mishar mitzvah, Sasei.
Why is it included?
Oh, good.
There's no expense.
What do you mean?
There's no expense. Of course there's expense.
Why was there expense?
No, but the obligation is on the father to do it himself.
Okay, fine. But the father might not be able to. How much does he have to pay for them all?
Okay, all right.
It's a big deal. Right. It's a big deal. Now, you should know there's a halacha on Shulchan Aruch that, generally speaking, it's not encouraged to take any fee for doing the bris milah as you get stuff. Because it's such an important mitzvah, we don't want to demean what's going on here by having any financial. It's just such an important communal. So. But it's complicated. Some people need it. I'm just pointing out what Allah and Shulchan Aruch is. So let's analyze. What do you think? The more one sees milas in average mitzvah saseh, the more one can say the general rule applies. Hamivazvei zalivazvei yosrim mifomish. The more one plays up this line of the Shulchan Aruch beyond that which the Shah has it, and he quotes Zadkaris. The more one says gedola mitzvah zomishar mitzvah saseh, the more one is going to say, no, there's not going to be a financial limit. And I want to point out
something. That's what I'm saying. He's already saying it's in a different class.
It's a different class.
These other instances are strong.
Right. Those are mitzvahs asay, which are exceptions to the rule. But Mila, it doesn't have to be on that list because it's not in the same category. That would be the idea. Now, let me just show you a tshuva. Moshe Sternbach had a tshuva on this topic. Source 6. Shall you see the drum Africa? Nishalti Mehudei. What's that next word? If he's in South Africa. Good. Shibichte Lamo has been obishmini to do the proper Mila. Sarach Linsoi Imayaled. Where?
By
Abiron. What's the case, Steve? He would have to do what?
He would have to actually fly.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's an expense.
Im Chayev Bazeh. Rudag Be'ikar. Mishum ha-hotza kaspis ha-meruba. What does that mean? Greater than 20%.
Yes.
So now we have it. This is, we're talking about 20th century.
Yeah.
I'll give you many other examples. Mm. How about every case of bris milah that was done in the Soviet Union? Mm. Wow. Let me leave aside the Sakhanas HaBashas dimension. It was both for the mogul and for the family that was doing it. The person could end up in jail for many years and die. Mm. But here you're having a financial issue. The posek was asked, what do you tell the family? If it's like a mitzvah sasei, you say, well, you have to add up the total assets and make a cheshbon. Take an accounting. But if Mila is in a category, you see how the lumbus is now, right, you see how the lumbus is actually expressing itself in the practical realm here?
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly, that's why you have to really understand the underpinnings of the sugya to be able to be a posek.
You're splitting hairs over something.
No, this is not splitting hairs. No, chas v'shalom. Lehepech. This is exactly what is Mila. Is it part of the constellation of mitzvot aseh? In which case, you'll say, this is a big knock coming up in a family. We're talking about this, obviously, they don't have a lot of money. And are you going to require them to get in an airplane and go?
And this is splitting hairs. The fact that so many Jews in the Soviet Union did, in fact, risk.
At great expense and at great personal risk. Yeah.
Because the Soviet prison system was not some place you wanted to be.
Clearly, by the way, Sakhanas HaBashas is to go
there. Absolutely. So the people were willing to do that.
100%. So if you take a look, right. So vehevesi midivrei sefer mar cheshes shem bistapik ad kama chayav lahutzi kedei lekayem mitzvas mila bizmana umarich umasik lahakel shechiyuvu ad chomesh kishar mitzvas asei. So he's trying to find a kula for the family, because the family would have to be well over 20% here.
Right.
And so he was looking, can we find the kula and maybe say Mila is just like another mitzvah saseh to spare the family. Udvarav tzarech iyun. But Moshe Sternbach says, I'm not so sure myself. She'ikar ha-yesod b'mitzvah saseh ad chomesh u'mitzdaka b'chadomesh chayev ad chomesh. That really comes from the dinim of tzedaka, and we apply it to other mitzvahs that say, "Haval b'mila dechamura." Mila is a completely different level. We know that doche Shabbos adif mitzvahs that say that tzedaka is in a category of its own. So, question—that's exactly the question he's debating. He's saying, "I understand the impetus. You want to look for a kula for the family. You want to find something." But at the end of the day, Mila might be different. After all, what was the language of the Shulchan Aruch? Ugedola mitzvah zo, mishar mitzvah zaseh. By the way, there's a happy ending to the story. They were able to fly a Moa away. Somebody took care of
it. I wish you guys had. I would be curious as to how many people did get circumcised or did get circumcised.
Right? It's a big, big issue. I don't know what the demographic
is. Right.
Right.
I was
just saying.
So, if you take a look now, I just want to conclude with the words of the tour. So, I just want to conclude with the words of the tour, which is based 90% on the Rambam, but it's the 10% that we don't have in the Rambam that the tour adds, which is just so beautiful. So, mitzvah saseh l'chol adam yisrael sheyamul asbino. Okay, we know it's the father's mitzvah. Ugedola hi mishar mitzvah saseh. That's where the Shulchan Aruch got it from, this line from the tour. We are sheyesh bat tzad kares. And the tour says, what makes it different? It's the tzad kares shebo. It's the fact that if you don't do it, it has kares. Aye, what about Korban Pesach? But we understand the tour wasn't writing the sefer about Kadshim. Maybe not Korban Pesach. Okay? This is where we started. We got nechursu alah yud gimel brisos b'parshas mila. Nechursu alah yud gimel brisos. In other words, it's so fundamental that Hashem used the term bris 13 times in Parshas Lech Lecha. V'lo nikra Avraham shalem ad shenimol. And Avraham was only called a shalem until he did the bris milah. What was that? What's that pasuk? We started with Yisaleich lefanai v'heyei samim. You have to be shalem. Uvis chusa, this is a line that I've never seen anywhere else. Uvis chusa nichras lo bris on the sinas ha'aretz. What is the tour saying? The tour is connecting two things that we thought were completely separate. The bris bin abisarim and bris milah.
Yes.
But actually the bris eretz yisrael actually comes as a consequence of the the bris milah, which is really interesting because bris milah actually appears in the Torah after the bris bin abisarim. But here, the way the tour presents it is that eretz yisrael is really bischus. What? Which institution? Bischus anichros lo bris on the sinas ha'aretz. Bischus mila.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That topic needs to be developed a little further. But that's, every line here is a gem. V'hi matzelas medina shel gehenim, k'mo sh'amru chacham, sh'amru avinu yoshe b'pischa shel gehenim, v'inu maniyach l'kanes bo l'chol amishanimo. Okay? That it saves you from the din of gehenim. Now, Seth, you'll appreciate this line because this is what I was stressing to you when you asked about the women. U'me'usa hi ha'orla. You see how the Rambam, and the Torah is quoting from the Rambam, says that it's not just the Mila which is important, but the, remember that line, lo yanichu arel b'Yisrael, what faced him. Mu'usa hiya orla, shenizganu ba'o b'dekochavim shenem arkichol agoyim arelim, which is not a compliment. So that arel itself is something which is offensive. V'chol ha'mefer brishal Avram Avinu, she'en o'malo shemoshe chorla. So anybody who is mefer brishal Avram, in other words, who doesn't take bris Mila, doesn't take it seriously, what does that mean? Be a big Talmud Chacham and keep other mitzvos, but this is irreplaceable. Bris Mila is an essential. You cannot have Torah and Ma'asim Tovim and expect a Chelek and Olam Haba if one is maker of Briso Shel Avraham Avinu. Wow. V'tzeyu lamad mi Moshe Rabbeinu. Steve, remember you mentioned this. Shelo nisla aleha afilu sha'acha she'icherosa. Who remembers the story? Apol pishay v'derech. Alkein tzarech leizar b'amod. What was the story of Moshe Rabbeinu? Who remembers the story?
He was rushing to get out. He was in the Milon, and something happened.
Right. He was attacked, and if it wasn't for who, he would have been killed. Zipporah saved his life, and it was all about Bris Mila. So Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's what we're saying. Moshe Rabbeinu. Nobody had more zchuyos than Moshe Rabbeinu, but Bris Mila is a category of its own. Al kein tzarech leizaher b'me'od. That's why you have to be so careful about Shas Mila. That's why it's such a big mitzvah to do the Mila on the eighth day. You never ever endanger the child. As the Shulchan Aruch says, you can always wait and do the Mila a day later, but you can never replace Nefesh Achas Mi Yisrael. But there's such a big inyan of doing it on the correct day. Why? Because what do you see from Moshe Rabbeinu? It's not just that you learn the importance of Mila, but what do you learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? Take it one step further. You learn the importance of Mila and its right time because he was attacked. Right? Lo nisla la afilu sha'achas. He wasn't given any birth. There's no leeway. That's why we always say, the child is born, lachniso b'briso shel Avraham Avinu, bizmano. We make such a point of saying it should be at the right time. That's what also why it's a special mitzvah to do Mila early in the day, on the eighth day. We always try to schedule it early. Very, very important to do it in the morning. And not just at any time in the morning. It really should be as early as you can do it. It's have to be at 3 in the morning. It's already still night. Nobody will be there. Neither the mall nor the baby. Right?
You've got to be able to
certainly
see
not the mother.
You got to be able to see what you're doing.
Right. Exactly.
But you know what you're saying?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, sure.
Next with the theme of last week.
Yeah.
This is really an ode.
Ah.
Between the Ram and Hashem.
Excellent.
Just like we have the ode on Shabbat, the Keshet that Hashem shows us in terms of destruction. It's that aspect of the dawn of Brit Mila, which is our ode with Hashem.
Absolutely.
Also connected in a communal sense with what other act
that
Dom appears.
Well, that's why, by the way,
those two themes.
That's why they always go together. That's why I started by putting them together. We say b'damaya chayi, which b'schus shnei damim nigalu avoseinu Mitzrayim. Which two bloods? The Dom Mila and the Dom Korban Pesach. That's why those are the two mitzvahs that have the kares. It's absolutely related.
You should be able to do it on Shabbat.
Who says? Well, there's a special pasuk in the Torah, in Parshas Kasaria, that we learned by Yom Hashmini Yimol B'sor Lassam, we have a special pasuk to tell us that by Yom Hashmini, as the Gemara says, Afilu Shmini Shechalios B'Shabbos, you have a special mitzvah Bris Milan Shabbos. But otherwise, you would have got. You would just one second, let's finish, and then we can, again, we'll bench and we'll take as many questions as we can. Steve, this is your issue. Begam Kihi Os Bris Chasum B'Sarenu. I love this line in the Torah. Ve'ena kishar kol ha-mitzvos kemo tzfilin betzitzis she'enan kvuin baguf ve'kasher yisireim yasir ha'os. What is he saying? Even tefillin's a very important os, but you know what? When you take off your tefillin, the os isn't on you anymore, your tzitzis. Very important. Take off your tzitzis, it's not on you anymore. Aval hamila he os chasum bibsareinu. Like Steve, it even transcends the keshet. Why? It's like saying it's not just the 13 verses 7, but it's part of us. It's integrated into us. Umi ida banu shabachar banu Hashem mikol ha'amim. Our chosenness. V'anachnu amo v'tzon mar iso. Asher l'dor v'dor anachnu chayavim la'ovdo l'sachar k'ilaso. It reminds us in the most visceral, literally way, it's integrated into our guf, that we are here for a purpose. I want to conclude with the Maimar Chazal, one of the Mizmori Tehillim says, Lam Natzeach al Hashminis, on the 8th. So what's the 8th? So the Medrash Tehillim says as follows, that David HaMelech was really wondering about this. He said, you know, if you think about it, one can divide mitzvot into a number of categories. One category is things that we do, but they don't become a part of us. And that's why David HaMelech said when he used to go to take a shower, he would be very depressed. Because he says, you know, look, I'm only an Ovid Hashem by proxy, only by virtue of my association with mitzvahs. When I don't have those things, I can't take them into the bathroom, then I'm bereft. I'm bereft of mitzvahs. And what does that say about me as a spiritual being? But then what did he realize? Lochein hadavar. That's an inaccurate. Why? Lam natzeach al hashminis. Because of something we do on the eighth day. By Yom Hashmini Yimol B'sar Lassam. That it wasn't just a nice play on words. The idea is that as Jewish people, we carry that around in us and within us. That's we're always stressing that this is the only. That's what I like to say. It's the only kind of tattoo which is allowed in Judaism. Is a tattoo which says we're not just members of a gang. What do gangs do? Gangs make tattoos. Say you belong. You only belong to one gang. That's the gang of Hashem. That's why we say. We say, Dogalach Hashem Lokeinu, Alva Aretz, or every time that Aretz is Al Purischa, Shechatamta Bibsareinu. It's not just a Brit, but it's the only thing, it's the only kind of tattoo that we can have, because we can only belong to one group. That's why when they all, you know, not that they've ever offered me, but they ever would. If the gang will ever offer me a tattoo, I already have my mind. I say, I already belong. I already have one. That's really why a tattoo is not permitted. If I ever, they offer up for me an honorary tattoo.
So
the idea is, you always say, it's Mushba Yomid Mehar Sinai. I already have my tattoo. That's really the idea. And that's the special, special quality of Bris Mila. Okay, so we're going to hold it up there. We'll bench, everybody go, and then we'll take as many questions as we can.
Okay, where are we getting...